Today, we enter this new season, the season of Epiphany, the season of light. And we read the story of the star leading the wise men to the infant Jesus, who is the light of the world. Today is also the 10th day of Christmas. This is the last day of Christmas. Today is the last day that we'll sing Christmas carols such as the First Noel and We Three Kings. Today is the last day that we hear a Christmas gospel story, the story of the three wise men, at least in this church year. And only Matthew, among the four gospel writers, tells us this wondrous story of the Magi. No matter that wise men and wise women today try to explain it away, or literalists try to discover exactly what happened in astronomical terms, the wonder of the story of the visit of the Magi remains undiminished. Many of you, as you were coming in, were wishing me a happy new year and wishing each other happy new year, and it's good to do that today. But today is also the last day that we're able to say Merry Christmas. And after the worship service today, like me, you'll go home and take down the Christmas tree and the cards and put the decorations and the ornaments away safely into storage for another year. Perhaps you've already done that in your house, just as we've done here in the church. Perhaps you've already put Christmas away. Perhaps you've taken down the tree and vacuumed up the needles. Perhaps you've taken the lights off and put them in that special box to be tucked away in the loft or the garage or the cupboard. Perhaps you've carefully taken down all these special ornaments and put them safely in their place. Perhaps you've already thrown away those stale Christmas pies, or maybe you've conspicuously put them on a plate hoping that someone else will eat them. Perhaps you've returned your Christmas presents for a better fitting shirt or jumper, or maybe you've already broken that new thing that you received. Perhaps by now Christmas is all over, boxed up at your house. Or maybe today is the end of it all, and you'll pack everything away this Sunday afternoon or evening. Tomorrow is surely the end of Christmas. Monday morning is definitely going to be the end of it all this year. We go back to our old routines. Children go back to school, as well as teachers going back to school. Adults go back to work if they have days off during the holidays. And any time that children go back to school and adults go back to work, you know the holiday is really over. Life returns to normal, almost as if nothing had really happened. And the ripple in the pond that is Christmas will slowly fade away, and Christmas will be boxed up and put in the loft for one more year. But in spite of the quick disappearance, in spite of the fact that Christmas is such an enormous amount of hard work, I, and I suspect you, are still glad to see Christmas come. I'm glad to see Christmas come because at Christmas people are often happier than they are at other times of the year. Many young adults come home from college and university to be with their families. Family and friends often come to visit, or you go to visit them. And we receive Christmas cards and Christmas letters from old friends, and we get caught up with them in their lives and what's happened to them over the past year. And during the Christmas season, children's faces are usually happy, and almost everyone enjoys singing their favourite Christmas carols. So if you add all this up, most people, I think, like to see Christmas come because in some ways it is a happier time of year. I also like to see Christmas come because it's during this time of year that we see the human race more like God intended us to be. That is, at Christmas time, most of us are a little kinder to family, to friends, even to strangers sometimes. Most of us are a little more thoughtful, a little more generous, a little more considerate towards others. And sometimes the world is a happier place because most of all, everyone is just that little bit kinder. Sometimes in the past, for example, during wars, the First and Second World Wars, even during the Korean conflict I was reading, sometimes the battle lulls at Christmas time. People in power call a Christmas truce. people actually stop dropping bombs. That's the way God intended the world to be, at peace with itself. And often at Christmas time, the domestic wars between husbands and wives are stopped on Christmas Eve. The children momentarily cease their fighting. There is a kind of Christmas truce within the family. And that's the way that God intended families to be, peaceful. Not perfect, but peaceful. And so it seems that at the close of the year, humankind is just that little bit more like God intended us to be. But where does it go? Where does it always go? For some people, the spirit of Christmas is boxed up and put away. The spirit of Christmas peace and generosity is away for another year. The spirit is confined to one or at most 12 days of Christmas. It's merely Christmas peace and merely Christmas generosity, intended only for this season, just like the Christmas cards and the Christmas carols. Well, today on this day of Epiphany, as we put Christmas away for another year, I want to ask the question, where in all of this is the child? And I want to examine briefly what Scripture has to say about where Christmas went for the shepherds, for the wise men, and for Jesus. What happened to them after Christmas was over? Where did the shepherds of Bethlehem go? The Bible in Luke's Gospel tells us that they returned to their fields. They returned to the fields glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. Where did they return? They returned to their simple, everyday tasks of taking care of their sheep. The shepherds had heard the angels singing on that starry night. They'd gone to the manger. They'd seen the baby Jesus with Mary and Joseph. They'd been filled with the Spirit of Christ, which could last all year. But meanwhile, back on the plains outside Bethlehem, there were still sheep to be tended, fences to be mended, pastures to be cultivated, little lambs to be guarded, work to be done as wool was sheared. A lot of routine work to go back to. And life's like that for most of us. We return to our old steady routines, to the tasks that are either appointed for us or we appoint to ourselves. We go back to our everyday living. Now, the Bible could have said that the shepherds returned to their jobs. That's common. But the Bible adds that they returned to their jobs glorifying God. That's uncommon. They returned to their old routines glorifying and praising God. In a sense, that's unique. It's certainly very distinct. And I love that line from the Bible. They returned to the fields glorifying and praising God. What an attitude to go back to their everyday life with. What gratitude the shepherds showed. But what does that mean for you and me as we return to the same old office or the same old shop or classroom, the same old kitchen, the same old sink, the same old school, the same old conflicts, the same old problems? All of the things that we faced on the 24th of December. Where is the child now? And what does it mean to go back to our old routines, our old jobs, glorifying and praising God? Well, it means to return being more thankful to God for his goodness to us, for his generosity, for his gift, for his beauty, for his grace to us. It means a feeling, a profound awareness in our hearts that Jesus Christ, God's Son, was a pure gift to us, and that Christ is full of grace and peace. And when we know Jesus, we have a taste, a share of God's grace and peace. To go back into the ordinary and the everyday praising God is to be aware that God is with us in the ordinary tasks of our daily lives. You know, when God chose to become a human being, God chose to become a down-to-earth carpenter, one who worked with his hands. That means that Jesus experienced the frustrations of hitting his thumb with a hammer, the frustrations of having to pull out that bent nail, the frustrations of perhaps trying to cut a line that wasn't quite straight for the third time. Jesus experienced the same old carpenter shop with its dusty floor, the same old tools that sometimes didn't work, the same old customers with their same old complaints. At Christmas, we hear that God became a full human being like us and was fully human. Christmas is the great message that the child is still with us. For God is with us in our ordinary jobs of life. God is with us in all of these dumb, boring, monotonous details that you and I are going to be doing tomorrow morning. It's through the ordinary routines that God chooses to work in our world. And we are called to make this world a better place by doing the ordinary things of life generously, graciously, and peacefully. Jesus, in a sense, consecrates the ordinary jobs of life and makes them holy, even though sometimes for us these jobs don't feel holy. Doing the dishes, is that holy? Cleaning the house, is that holy? Making another meal, doing the washing, going to the office or back to the classroom, are these things holy? Are these things sacred? Well, yes, they can be. It's the heart of the person that makes the common and the ordinary job holy and sacred. Christmas continues when we're able to say, I raise my children for God, or I'm an engineer for God, or a banker for God, or I'm a school teacher for God. I sit in front of a computer all day for God. I do all these things for God and for God's kingdom. Yes, God is found in the ordinary and everyday things of life. Where did the shepherds go? They went back to their sheep, praising God. Back to the fields, praising God. Back to mending their fences, praising God. And where do you and I go after Christmas? We go back to our fields, praising and glorifying God. Back to our kitchens, back to our classrooms, back to our office buildings, back to our routines at work, glorifying God, knowing that God loves us, knowing that God is with us in the ordinary routines of life, knowing that it's through the ordinary and the common everyday things of our petty lives that we carry out God's work in the world. So that's the shepherds. And where did the wise men go? What happened to these three magi after Christmas? The gospel doesn't really tell us who they were or how many they were. We draw that in part from the psalm which we read about three kings. But what happened to them after Christmas? Well, in Matthew's gospel, we read that being warned in a dream, they departed for their country by another route, another way. I think these wise men returned to their own country or their own countries wiser people. Wiser because they knew they had found God in the least likely of circumstances, in the least likely of places. They found God in a stable, in an animal's manger. And forever after, they and other wise people would be alert for the signs of God's presence in common places, in unexpected places. Wise people find God in the most common of places, in homes, in places of work, in schools, in the ordinary routines of our daily lives. There we find God and we discover wisdom. The Christ child was found in a manger and not in a mansion or a palace. The Christ child is still to be found in the mangers of our lives, in those common and ordinary places, such as within the family, or between friends, or in our jobs. You don't have to come to church to find the Christ child in the manger, for the mangers of our life are in stables and barns, and most of the places we would label as irreligious. In other words, the wise men became wiser because they found out where to look for the presence of God. They returned happier because they returned lighter. They've come bearing heavy gifts, and they return without their gold, without their frankincense, without their myrrh. But they return with the indescribable lightness of heart that every generous giver discovers. The wise men had left their generous gifts with the Holy Family, with Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. In giving these precious gifts to the family, in lifting the burden from Mary and Joseph and from the baby, the three wise men gave them the financial resources they needed to escape Herod and to travel to Egypt. As they gave to a poor family in need, the wise men found a key to real happiness. The wise men were wiser still because they discovered God's secret is giving of themselves as God has given of himself to us. The wise men returned home lighter because they'd given to the Holy Family in their material need. And you and I return from Christmas in the same way. We have an added lightness. We have given of ourselves. We have given gifts to others. In our Christmas offerings for the Bethany Mission, we have given to holy and needy families around us this Christmas season. And we don't feel heavy and burdened with huge financial bills from purchasing expensive gifts for friends and family in a spirit of Christmas secularity. But instead we feel lightened by giving to those families near us and around the world who are truly poor and truly needy, just as Mary and Joseph and the baby were on that first Christmas. So where did the wise men go? They went back to their homelands, but they went another route, another way. They were much wiser than before because they finally knew where to find God. But they were not only wiser, but lighter and happier because they had given of themselves to the Holy Family in their need. And finally, I'd like to ask one last question. Where did Jesus go? Where is the child? A young child asked the question of his mum, "Mummy, did the baby Jesus live happily ever after? Did the story have a happy ending?" Well, we know that the story didn't end in Bethlehem. As we read last week, there was a terrible murder of all the innocent children by the monstrous King Herod, who killed all the little boys aged 2 and under. There was the flight to Egypt, where they became refugees. There was the return to Nazareth by a different route, where Jesus grew up in the carpenter's shop. There was Jesus' great ministry, his parables, his teaching, his miracles. And then there was the arrest, the trial, the painful execution, the resurrection, and the ascension into heaven. And then the Spirit of Jesus came fully on the day of Pentecost. For more than 2,000 years, Jesus was and is still bringing us the presence of God. Peace and justice and mercy. These things filling us with the experience of grace and gracious love. Where is the child? That was the question of the Magi. But where is the child? Where did Jesus go? Into your heart and into mine, if we've allowed him. Into your life and into mine. Where did Jesus go after Christmas Day? His Spirit, the Spirit of God's grace and peace are in you now as you return to your fields, glorifying and praising God. Where did Christmas go? Too often it goes into the loft for one more year, boxed up, put away for another 12 months. But the shepherds went back to their fields, glorifying and praising God. The wise men, they went back to their countries, their families, their friends, wiser and lighter. And where is the child? Where is Jesus? He has come to live in your heart and in mine.